we are to abstain from every appearance of evil. That word appearance might make us think that it means that we must abstain from anything that might look like sin to somebody else. Is that what it means?
In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the appearance of evil. Yesterday, we talked about the effort to get down to mere Christianity, the simplest expression of the gospel for a people who had never heard it and had no very complicated ideas of right and wrong. To the Aucas, adultery was wrong. If a man helped himself to another man's wife, there was a very simple way of dealing with that. He was speared to death. The death penalty is a very powerful deterrent, and so there was very little promiscuity among the Auca Indians of Ecuador. If a woman helped herself to another woman's crop of manioc, the staple food which they had to cultivate, this was certainly frowned upon. And personality conflicts were all but unheard of. To my astonishment, I saw practically no signs of disharmony among these people who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. I thought of all the Christian groups that I had been a part of in my life, people who prided themselves on being righteous and conforming to the Word of God. I had never seen the kind of harmony exhibited among them that I saw among these simple Stone Age people. They lived together in harmony, in apparent peace and happiness. Right next door to the house where I lived was a house in which a man lived with three wives. I had no walls on my house, they had no walls on theirs. So I was able to observe what went on in that house, and never once did I see any signs of conflict or irritation or disharmony between the three women that were married to that one man whose name was Dabu. The Aucas had no reason for covetousness because nobody had anything that they themselves didn't have. Every woman had her hammocks, her fireplace, her pots, her fishnets, and every man had his own wife and his children and his hammock and his spears, and his blowgun, and his darts. There was no competition. This was kind of a surprise to me. I thought competition was inborn in human nature. Several times I tried to encourage the Aucas to compete with each other in the throwing of spears or the shooting of darts. They hadn't the least idea what I was talking about. No notion whatsoever of comparing one man with another. There was no jealousy. There was no vanity, as far as I could tell. After all, if you wear nothing but a piece of string, what you see is what you get. So nobody had any secrets, and nobody had any reason to try to be what he was not. There was no aggressiveness, so far as I could tell. Oh, but you say they were killers, weren't they? They killed your husband. Yes, they killed my husband, but not out of hatred, simply out of fear. They thought he was a cannibal. There are different expressions of friendship in different cultures. When Nate Saint hugged one of the Aucas in their friendly contact that they had just before five men were killed by the Aucas, he meant it, of course, as a sign of friendship. What looks like friendship in one culture may look like hostility in another. And so because the Aucas had never heard of a man hugging another, just putting an arm around his shoulder, it was not a gesture that meant anything to them. They simply put it down as one more of the peculiarities of cannibals. Jesus showed his love for common men by eating and drinking with them. And yet he was called a glutton, a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Is it possible to behave in such a way as to be understood by all and as to offend none? In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, we read that we are to abstain from every appearance of evil. That word appearance might make us think that it means that we must abstain from anything that might look like sin to somebody else. Is that what it means? Another translation says, abstain from every form of evil. Does it mean don't do anything that might look wrong or that somebody else might be offended by? When the Syrian army commander Naaman was cured of his leprosy, he acknowledged Israel's God as the only true God. He immediately thought of his responsibility to the pagan king. A part of this service was to accompany the king to the worship of his God. So Naaman declared that from henceforth his own loyalty would be to the true God, but he must perform his duty to his earthly master. Elisha, the man of God, assured him that he might go in peace. Some of us might ask, but what of his testimony? What of the criticism that might come because he contributed to the king's idolatry? But Elisha's advice was, go in peace. You remember when Peter was given that vision of the great sheet let down from heaven with all manner of beasts, and was told that he was not to call anything unclean from now on. Peter, who was a Jew and had always observed Jewish law. After this vision, he was freed to fellowship with Gentiles, but there was an occasion when he abstained from eating with them for fear of offending the Jews. And Paul felt that this was such a serious misunderstanding of the gospel that it warranted a public rebuke. If you're going to make a choice to do something which may look like evil to some, make sure first that it is for the Lord's sake. Make sure you take into account, first of all, those for whom you are spiritually responsible. For example, as a Christian parent, there were choices that I had to make when I was bringing up my daughter. I wanted to teach her the liberty that is in Christ, what I call the liberty of obedience, but I didn't want to do anything that would offend other people. But there were a few occasions when I had to make a choice. Now, do I do this thing in order to demonstrate to my daughter the liberty that we have in Christ? Or do I refrain from doing this thing, even though I feel that I have that liberty, in order not to offend somebody else? I came to the conclusion that my spiritual responsibility for my daughter took priority over my responsibility for those others who might possibly be offended. There were certain things which they would consider the appearance of evil, which in my heart, I did not believe were evil and did not want to teach my daughter were evil. Let's remember that there will always be gossips and busybodies, critics and bystanders whose primary concern is the letter, not the spirit. Those people are not actually going to be offended in any spiritual sense, in any very important sense, by what we do. They are just looking for things to criticize. Remember that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Anyone who takes any kind of stand for God will be, quite rightly, scrutinized. People have a right to ask, does that woman that talks on that program all the time, Gateway to Joy, does she live according to the principles that she talks about, or is she just another one of these people that gets up with a big mouth and pays no attention in her private life? Well, God knows the answer to that question. I know that I will be judged by the standards that I present to you, the standards of Scripture. We must learn to walk before Him, sift our motives in His presence, and go on quietly. It comforts me to remember that the Lord said to Abraham, "Walk before Me, and be thou perfect." He didn't say, "Walk before Sarah, and be thou perfect. Now certainly Sarah, his wife, knew him better than anybody else, and I believe that Sarah recognized Abraham as a godly man. But only God can read the heart. So if you have been scrutinized and criticized in a way which you feel is unjust, and God knows your heart, if someone is calling evil something which in your heart before God you know is not evil, remember that it is the common lot of all of us. Only God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. It's the only thing that man can look on, and he has a right to look on that. But I go back to Amy Carmichael's poem. She was a woman who suffered much criticism in her missionary work in India, and out of some of those painful experiences of being criticized and not being able to defend herself, not being willing to defend herself, she wrote these words, "O thou who art my quietness, my deep repose, my rest from strife of tongues, my holy hill, fair is thy pavilion where I hold me still. Back let them fall from me, my clamorous foes, confusions multiplied. From crowding things of sense I flee, and in thee hide. Until this tyranny be overpast, thy hand will hold me fast. What though the tumult of the storm increase? Grant to thy servant strength, O Lord, and bless with peace."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.